It's time now for Bible Talk. Join our hosts Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw as they open the Bible and talk about themes that affect your life today. Stay tuned because the next 15 minutes will deepen your understanding of God's Word.
Welcome to Bible Talk, where we talk about the Bible and how the Bible affects us today. I'm John Bradshaw. With me is Gary Gibbs. Hi there, Gary.
Hi, John. We are continuing today a topic that I'm sure made a lot of people sit up and take notice the last time we were together.
We're looking at some of the compelling social issues affecting society today, and one of those is morality, in particular, homosexuality, same-sex marriages, ordination of homosexuals, sex abuse scandals, some churches saying their churches are being torn apart by this very issue. This is indeed a compelling social issue today.
It really is, John. You can't turn on the news, you can't pick up a magazine without encountering this whole debate about homosexuality. And I think it's very important that Christians and non-Christians actually look at this quite objectively and form their opinions as to what place homosexuality should have in Western society.
One of the things I want to ask you right now is about this thing of being objective. Is it okay for the Christian on this question or any other to make a judgment call? Because no matter how we frame this, someone's going to go away saying, these guys on Bible Talk are being judgmental, they're judging. And you know, among Christianity today, there's a real move away from being judgmental. Let's just be nice and lovey about everything and everyone and every practice and not say a word. So, judgment calls. Can we make them on this issue or any issue? What's the word?
Listen, I hope nobody does go away saying we're being judgmental, hateful of homosexuals, because that is far from the truth. I have very good friends, people I love, who are in the homosexual lifestyle. Now, I can love them without agreeing with their lifestyle. I love people who do a number of things that I don't think are in harmony with the Bible. But we still love each other. Now, when you come to judgment, Jesus said in John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
So he opens the door to some kind of judging. What in another place the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged.
Matthew 7, verse 1. But you go down to verse 16 in Matthew 7, he says, you'll know a tree by its fruit. So we're not to be judgers of people's motivations and hearts. We don't know how a person became an alcoholic. We don't know how a person became a homosexual. But we do know that God loves them nonetheless. He doesn't love their behavior. He doesn't love the damage that it does to them or to others, but God loves them.
It says in the Bible, this is just plain and simple, this is loud and clear, all unrighteousness is sin. Now, I think we've got it on pretty good authority from the Bible that immorality in any of its guises is sin. What does it say in Exodus 20? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Moral sins are sins yet, and unrighteousness. So in the eyes of God, perhaps we need to talk about these things in case there are those who are looking on them as though they're just not that serious. And
We do. But I think also, John, we need to look at that temptation is not sin. You know, a person may be tempted to look on somebody of the opposite sex or the same sex and be tempted with a lustful thought, but that temptation is not sin. It's acting it out. It's living it out. That becomes sin. And so, you know, just because a person is tempted to be a homosexual doesn't mean they have to act on those temptations.
I would go a step further and say just because a person is tempted by homosexuality certainly doesn't mean they are a homosexual. Just because the temptation comes doesn't mean that you are what the temptation is. When you are tempted to steal doesn't mean you're a thief, does it?
But let me ask you a question. And in Bible Talk, we kind of debate these issues. You know, a person who is tempted with a homosexual thought, I would say that is not the majority of people out there.
No, true. And okay. Hey, don't think for a minute I'm giving a free pass and saying it's okay to cherish this stuff or want this stuff. I'm just talking about the temptation. Doesn't mean you are what you're tempted by.
No, but if you have persistent temptations,
oh, you might
all the time.
You might have a problem.
Yeah, right. And you don't have an opposite sex attraction whatsoever. It's always a same sex attraction. Then you've got an issue. It's a deep issue that's inside you. And some people would say it's a genetic base to that.
Well, I've met a number of people who it, now you know what's dangerous about this is what I'm about to say, to my knowledge. And so I don't know all that's gone on in the background. There have been times when I've met people and thought, wow, maybe this person was born this way. What's your answer? We might all have met people that we've said, it seems as though if anyone was born this way, it was this person. At the same time, we've known people who've made deliberate adult choices to follow down this path. What about the genetic thing?
Well, right now, all the evidence is inconclusive. We cannot say for sure that there is a genetic base to homosexuality. We absolutely don't know. There have been some studies done, but as you look at every one of those studies, they're inconclusive. They're done with very small sample groups. Often, they are done with researchers who themselves are homosexual. And they'll often, admit that. In 1991, Science Magazine published an article by Dr. Simon LeVay, and he reportedly found brain differences, John, in homosexual men compared to heterosexual men.
What was behind that? Was that a legitimate finding?
No, it was a flawed study. First, the sample size was very small, 41 persons, and they were corpses. You know, if you're going to go look at brain differences, you got to go in and do autopsies.
He's studying dead brains.
That's right. So 41 of them, to be exact. Secondly, all of the known homosexuals had died of AIDS or AIDS-related complications. So you could say, you know, what caused the brain differences? Maybe it was the disease. And 16 corpses that were heterosexual men were only presumed to be heterosexual. It wasn't known for sure if they'd been heterosexuals or not.
Right.
And so Dr. LeVay is a homosexual himself, and you can't help but wonder, you know, if this didn't influence his study.
Couldn't it be said now with this genetic thing, instead of saying this is genetic, we know, I think, that there are people who are born with a predisposed weakness towards certain things. You find people, you know, the dad had a bad temper and the son is raised in that home has a bad temper. The dad was an alcoholic, but the daughter or the son has a weakness or a predisposition towards alcoholism and a weakness there. We see that in some cultures even. Could there be any of that involved?
We don't know. We really don't know. And that is the answer. Even if there is a genetic base, does that give license to act on those things?
Now I want to emphasize what you said. It's so important. Even if there is, so what? Right?
Right. You know, if you're born with a propensity to alcoholism, do you say, well, I was born an alcoholic, so I'm just going to go drink?
Sure doesn't justify it, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it's harmful to the person, and it's harmful to society.
All right. Here's where we've been on Bible Talk today. The thing is a sin. Immorality is wrong. Homosexuality is, we believe.
And God loves the sinner, no matter if they're homosexual
or
not.
Bible-based, this is wrong, but God loves the gambler, the prostitute, the person with foul language, the homosexual, the whatever, the embezzler. God loves them all, right?
That's right. He doesn't love their behavior. He sees it as harmful. It's something that he condemns, but he wants to rescue people from this.
Okay, in just a moment, we're going to talk about God's rescue plan. In just a moment. Right now, though, we're offering something in conjunction with today's program. What is that?
That's correct. We're offering a little booklet called Return to Sodom, a little booklet that I authored, a little 32-page booklet that covers various aspects of this topic, and it can be ordered by calling or emailing us at the address given at the end of the program today.
If you're looking for more information, if you're wanting to study on this subject, if you want to find a way out, get this book, and you'll find it's going to be a great blessing. All right, God's way out, God's plan. I don't think we ought to suggest that getting the victory over homosexuality is going to be as easy as falling off a log. Now, perhaps instant victory can come for some people, but we know generally this is a process and there are struggles involved. Even a person who is tempted with regular old immorality, if I can put it that way, that's a struggle for some people to overcome. This is why we have support groups like Gamblers Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. So let's not be flippant and suggest this is an easy thing. But I do want to say this. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common or to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. But with the temptation, God will make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it. Does that verse say, unless you're dealing with homosexuality?
No, it's open-ended. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13.
So there's a promise from God that whatever you are struggling with, there is power in the Word of God and in the presence of God to help you overcome that.
And I like 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Verse 11 says that some people in the early Christian church had heterosexual and homosexual problems and temptations and had lived those lifestyles, but they were washed, they were cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They were changed. God's power can transform our lives. I've experienced that in my life in the areas of sin that I have dealt with. I'm not perfect, but God has done a transforming work and continues to do that. And there are excellent ministries. Like you said, I think sins of the flesh, drinking, smoking, drugs, sexual sins, those things are so interwoven to our being, and the habits, I think, work into the very fabric of our being, you know, genetically and functionally,
that's
who
right.
we are, that they're more difficult to overcome, and often you do need help, and there are groups like Exodus International and others who can help people dealing with this particular temptation.
These issues are very deep-seated, and they're very deep-seated emotional issues, and I would encourage people to rely on the power that is inherent in the Word of God, and also, as you mentioned, Gary, get some help. Get some help. And this is where Christians really ought to open up their hearts a little bit. You know, I'll see someone come into church and stand up and say what God has done. I've been delivered from drug addiction. I've been delivered from alcoholism. And everybody says, amen and hallelujah. I used to be a thief. I broke into homes. Oh, this is exciting, man. You know, people love this kind of testimony. But to have someone stand up and say, well, I'm struggling with homosexuality, and suddenly the church isn't so loving anymore.
Oh, they act like he has a plague, and they or she has the plague and want to go the other direction. The church really needs to open up like the church in Corinth and say, we can help you, we want to help you, and we want to introduce you to Christ. I'll tell you a quick story here as we get ready to end. I was in the Philippines holding some meetings, and a friend of mine and I were up in our hotel room, and the phone rang, John. And on the other end, there's a gentleman that says, I am looking for a male companion. It's essentially what he said. I won't tell you exactly what he said. And I said, excuse me? He said, well, I'm looking for a handsome man. I said, really?
You said you've got the wrong number.
Well, I knew it. I knew it
me.
Wasn't me.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, he went on. And anyway, finally, he told me he was a homosexual. And I said, well, I've got just the man for you. And he got excited about that. I said, you will love this man. This man will meet your needs more than any other man. He said, oh, really? I said, do you want to know his name? He said, yes. I said, his name is Jesus Christ. And he said, excuse me? I said, Jesus Christ, I want to introduce you to him.
And my friend, if you will welcome Jesus Christ into your heart, whatever your issue, you will find the peace that passes understanding. Time flies. Thanks for being here. Join us for more next time here on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free, informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for Return to Sodom. The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678. Or email us at bibletalk@lifetalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.